Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place, Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so excited to have you with us tonight, as we are every Tuesday night from 7 to 8:30-ish p.m. We're so glad that we are studying the Book of Signs by Dr. David Jeremiah. And we've been focusing on this for some time. We've talked about the end times, we talked about the cultures, we talked about materialism and morality. Tonight is the night we're going to talk about radical Islam. And we're going to be looking at Ezekiel 38, 1 through 6, whoever's reading the scripture. Ezekiel 38, 1 through 6. But as we begin, as we always do, we start off with prayer. Then we'll have a song, then we'll have scripture. And after scripture, we'll have intercessory prayer and come back together to do roll call to start our study. God's been so good to us, so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most holy and righteous God, we come before you, celebratory, that you have been our God and you allowed us to be your people. What an awesome, mighty God we serve. And we come before you, Lord, with bowed hearts, bended knee, and we want you to know, oh God, that we are sitting wanting to hear from you. We want to learn of you. We want revelation knowledge. And Lord, as we sit at your feet, we are opening our arms and hands in submission. Holy Spirit, rain down on us, mold us, make us, use us, oh God. We praise you tonight as we receive the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. Almighty God, we come before you and we ask blessings on the people who are listening and the people who will be a part of the dialogue. We ask these blessings now in the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, man. So we've got everybody in on the line tonight, and whoever's going to read for us, Margaret, would you like to read Ezekiel 38, 1
through
6?
Sure, I would love to
or
read.
Brett? All right.
Can you
and
hear
in the
me?
Meantime, in the meantime, we'll play our music.
Okay.
It's just me and you.
I feel so lost, 'cause I don't know what to do. Now what if I choose the wrong thing to do? I'm so afraid, afraid of disappointing you. So I need to talk to you and ask you for your guidance, especially today when my life is so cloudy. Guide me until I'm sure I open my heart. Oh yeah. My hope and dream are fading fast. I'm all burnt out, I don't think my strength gonna last.
The Lord came to me, Son of Man,
set your face against Gog of the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. Prophesy against him and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against you, Gog, chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks in your jaws, and bring you out with your whole army, your horses, your horsemen fully armed, and a great horde with large and small shields, all of them brandishing their swords. Persia, Cush, and Put will be with them, all with shields and helmets. Also Gomer with all its troops, and Beth Togarma from the far north with all its troops, the many nations with you. The word of the Lord for the people of God.
Amen.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. It's at this time, Dr. Nooks, if you are there, would you like to lead us in intercessory prayer?
Yes, I had to get off of mute. I'm sorry.
Amen.
Well, this time we ask if there are people that would like to have special prayer. We realize that the fervent and effectual prayer of the righteous availeth much. Prayer changes things. So we invite you to mention or share your prayers that you would like to have, maybe for yourself or your loved ones or those close to you, and also share any praises that you might have. We invite you to do so at this time.
Well, this is Bishop Michael in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and over the weekend, I became a grandfather. We welcomed Ariel, Denise, into the world, and we give God praise for that, and just continued healing for the mommy, that God would bring
Amen.
Total healing mentally and physically and spiritually to her mother.
Amen.
Amen.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
This is Eric.
Go ahead.
I'd like to uplift my uncle, Butch. He's got a scan tomorrow. He's completed 3 rounds of chemo, and they're doing a scan to determine if, in fact, this is working. They told us last week that his lung cancer was at stage 4. So tomorrow they're doing a CT scan to determine what really is going on. He had to have a blood transfusion yesterday, which is his second. He's had to have fluid drawn off his lungs again, which is his third turn. So I'm just asking that the Lord continue to strengthen him through this process, that the news tomorrow will be that which we will be able to digest and do according as God has, as God's will be. And basically that's it. I think for he and me, I know we don't want him to suffer. We look for healing. But we also realize that God's plan may not always be our plan. And we just want to continue to praise God and whatever the plan is. For the God be the glory for all that he has done and all that he will do.
Amen.
And I've tried to be encouraging enough, knowing that he's told me his story about his acceptance of Jesus Christ as his Savior before he went to the military to go to Vietnam, that no matter what the situation is here on earth, there is a reward for him with God that none of us could even imagine the beauty of it all, even when we read in Revelation what the new heaven and the new earth will be like. We can't even begin to imagine what that glory will be, being in the presence of God all the time. So I just want this group to lift him up.
Amen.
Amen. This is Margaret from Florida, and I just want to come before the Lord today and praise his holy name and thank him for his mercy that he has showered upon us, for the most high privilege he has given us that we can come and ask in his name for blessing upon our families. I praise and thank him for the healthy ones that are doing well and those who are sick. I pray for my fellow brothers and sisters who are listening, who live close to me. I pray for the Lord that he would give them a blessing today. I pray that more would turn to him and respond to his call for salvation. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
This is Brett. I'm asking prayer for the world and especially this nation. We're coming up on the time that we start giving prayers and start sharing meals, and it's a time of Thanksgiving.
Amen.
Even though that should be what we do every day, some people just wait until Thanksgiving Day to do that. But I'm asking that the United States will come together and heal, that those people that are in Congress, I'm asking God to touch them.
Amen.
And to purge that building. Those people that are not there for the people, we need to have them out. And
Amen.
The people that are doing the right thing, we need to be able to keep them and lift up their voice. And I just ask the Lord to bless them and keep them in Jesus' name.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Anybody else?
Well, this is James. I pray for you. Ask for your continued prayers. Ask for God's blessing. I had biopsy yesterday, and I have scanned in 2 weeks. So just pray for my healing and also direction as far as what next steps would be. I'm grateful for all that God has given me and for his presence in my life.
Amen.
Amen.
No one else?
This is Dr. Susie. I want to lift up my children, James and Sydney, asking for protection as this flu season is here. I lost a child from the flu, and just asking for prayers to protect James and Sydney, and he's been struggling with the cold. Also asked that it's time for our reviews for our job, and my boss did mine, and I'm getting ready to read it tonight, so I'm hoping that everything will be all right.
Amen.
This is Eric. Dr. Susie, this battle is not yours, it's the Lord, so it's going to be all right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen to that. Anyone else? We thank God for today, to be able to breathe and to exist, to walk in God's amazing power and blessings, and to be able to see all of the wonders in nature, and to appreciate and be a recipient of God's power, not only here on earth, but throughout the universe. And how God is so big, and yet he's small enough to come in and abide with us. And we are so grateful that we serve and we have present in us such a mighty God. And we realize that, God, you're able to do all things but fail. And we thank you for all you've done for us throughout our lives. And we're amazed sometimes at what you have done and what you're doing right now.
Yes.
And God, we want to mention Bishop Michael. We're so excited that he's a grandfather now. We're celebrating that, and we just ask for continued healing for the mother and the child, and mentally, physically, spiritually. We're so grateful for that. We thank you. And Eric asked for a prayer for his uncle, Uncle Butch, who has been through a lot. Stage 4 cancer. He's had 3 sessions of chemo, and he's had a scan. And God, right now we're just asking for you to touch his body and to touch his family. And we pray for healing, but we also pray, God, that if your decision is not to heal him, but the family will be strengthened by the fact that he's in your presence and in your arms. So bless the family in a special way, God. We need your presence. We need your comfort, realizing your strength runs out, does not run out. Ours does, but yours does not. And God, Margaret just is praising you for all that you've done and how you've been so merciful and you've provided so much for her and her family. And you bless so many that are healthy, but God, Margaret also prays for those that are not so healthy that you would bless them in a special way. She reaches out to you in love, asking for help for her family. And we're so grateful for that in Jesus' name. And God, Brett asked for prayer for our country, and God, we join him in that. We're so concerned about our country and the world, as Brett mentioned.
Yes.
And so much division, and we pray, God, that you would touch Congress. And it's just amazing that we see day in and day out people fighting over things that are not that important, and people are suffering. So we pray, God, that somehow hearts can be touched, minds can be touched, and those that are not really concerned about our people, God, can be purged from Congress. We need your help. Our country needs your help. And God, I'm so grateful for just touching my body and blessing me throughout my years here on the earth. And I've had cancer for many years, 13 years, and now it's just going into a different direction. So we pray for that, for healing. We also pray for direction, and also decision making. Thank you for all that you are, God, and I love you so much. Dr. Susie lifts up her children, James and Sydney, especially during this season, season of flu and cold, and James is particularly susceptible to that, so we pray for a special healing and a covering in Jesus' name. We need you, God, and we just pray a special prayer for this Bible study and those that are listening in, that we would understand and really appreciate all that you are doing, all that you've done, and how wonderful it is to have you as our Savior. Bless our leader, Dr. Susie, and help us as we go into study. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 We have had a month of research and study and digging and discussing and looking at the signs, listening to the scripture. But tonight we're going to talk about radical Islam. So I want to start off by getting a roll call.
Eric.
Britt from
Gary from Maine.
Margaret from Florida.
Ivan Carter from Dubai.
Shirley in Maryland.
Mr. Michael in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Mr. Michael. We're so glad to have everybody on the line tonight. Miss Shirley, you better quit going away. We're going to have to come get you. We missed you. And we are glad to have everybody on the line tonight. Jerry.
Yes, ma'am.
Where's my sis? Laura.
She called and said she couldn't make it tonight. She actually is starting another part-time job tonight, and she called me to let me know she was on her way there. So she was going to miss the Bible study tonight and wanted to tell everybody hello, and she was going to call me later and check and see how it went.
Okay, well, we're going to, even though we didn't pray for her, thank you for not putting her on the list. We will add it to the prayer list.
Don't tell her, okay?
I ain't going to tell her about the new job that she's encountering, and we'll lift that up. You know, maybe someone can add that to the prayer list as they do the invitation. But that's good. So we've had a really good time in the Lord, and the Lord is continuing to bless our Bible study. Sometimes we have so many on here, we don't have enough room to let everybody talk. And then other times it's just the perfect amount for everybody to talk. So we are trusting God for it all. So tonight, Bishop Michael is going to lead us in the discussion of radical Islam. The question that I have is, Bishop Michael, you ready to go? If you're ready to go, let's go.
Yes, let's go. Thank you, Dr. Susie, and welcome to this Bible study, those of you all who are listening. One of the things that, you know, when Dr. Jeremiah starts out chapter 8, he talks about one of the generals under Saddam Hussein, General Sada, said that America is naive. And we're going to be paying particular attention to two Arabic words, Fatah and Jihad. Fatah, let's just start out at the outset. Fatah is like infiltration. And Jihad is, of course, we know as war. But one of the things that General Sada said, that America is naive. when it comes to welcoming people in. I would kind of say that, when we look at the nation as a whole, and you all are very welcome to join in on this, as a nation, yes, we are divided. And as a matter of fact, as a nation, as the political situation here in America is right now, we are vulnerable and we are susceptible, and to an enemy, we are ripe for an attack. We're majoring on a lot of the minors. If anybody would agree or disagree with me, please bring it right now. Our nation is very much in trouble because we're actually fighting amongst ourselves.
Well,
about a lot of things.
Amen. Amen.
That really. Our national security is in trouble because, we're being dictated to and not really being the nation that I served when I was in the military. We are cut up in so many factions. So General Sada says that we're kind of ripe for this type of infiltration, and we've seen it. And I have to, we cannot talk about this, without going back into history.
All right.
Why is there so much animosity towards the Western world by Islam? There has to be a reason. They just grew up one day and they don't like us.
Because the Western world is a friend to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because we stand up to what they believe. We believe different than they do.
Yes, and we're going to get into the specifics of that.
Does
anybody know anything about the history of the Crusades? Islam, let's put it this way. Islam is a religion that was started after Christianity. Some people believe it's been around for thousands and thousands of years at the same time Moses walked the earth. No. It was around the 6th century Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. It was around that time. And we'll get into, the Quran versus the Bible, and we'll get into more specifically about Islam being a religion of peace. What some of the people will believe, and we'll also get into the names of God, God willing, because these are very important tenets in what we're talking about. There is animosity towards the Western world, not just the United States. And Eric, was that you that said because we stand with Israel?
Yes.
So they call Israel little Satan. Guess what they call us? Big Satan. So, we're going to get into a lot of these things tonight because it is really important to understand certain things about it. So Dr. Jeremiah says that the Muslim world is far from unanimous rejection of the West, nor have the Muslim regions of the third world been the most passionate and the most extreme in the hostility. How many of y'all, tell me this, where were you on 9/11?
Jury duty.
What was your thought when you saw the images on television?
Fear, and thought the world was coming to an end.
Is anybody on this call did you have any idea where the attack came from? Did you have any doubt where it came from? And I'm not talking about the devil. We know it came from the devil, but who did he use? Did anybody have any fact, any thought of where that came from?
No.
No. Go ahead.
This is Dr. Susie.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw the devastation, maybe I'm a crazy person, but when I watched the building fall down, the building didn't look like it exploded. It looked like it imploded, and it just sucked
mm-hmm.
down. And I thought, that looks like it's playing. I
mm-hmm.
felt like we did it to try to
mm-hmm.
fix the situation politically that was going on. I mean, but
okay.
that's, you know, my radical mind.
Well, prior to that, you're welcome to your opinion, Dr. Susie. That's wonderful. Prior to this happening, there were rumblings in Iraq, in the Middle East. Okay? And so my mind, you know, because there was also the fact that Saddam Hussein had been telegraphing his punches with some of his prior attacks and had made the statement that there would be an attack coming to America. So immediately I looked at it and I said, you know, Saddam Hussein. So look here. For the first 1,000 years of Islam was advancing. Christendom was in retreat under a threat. The new faith conquered old Christian lands in North Africa and Levant and invaded Europe, ruling for a while in Sicily, Spain, Portugal, and even parts of France. The attempt by crusaders to recover the lost lands in Christendom, the East was held and thrown back, and even the Muslims lost southwestern Europe and was amply compensated by the Islamic advance into southeastern Europe, which twice reached as far as Vienna. Islam is a religion that started after Christianity. Muhammad, the founder of Islam, was born in Mecca in 570 A.D. So Muhammad
right.
was 40 years old when he started getting revelations, quote-unquote, air quotes, from meditating outside a cave in Mecca. At that time, people in Arabia were worshiping, here we go, 360 plus gods, one god for every day of the lunar. So we're going somewhere with this. One of the gods was the moon god, and there were many names for the moon gods, but one of the names for the moon god, according to, and I have to preface this, according to Dr. Jeremiah's research, this, the name for that moon god was the favorite god of Muhammad's family, which is Allah. How many of you on this line have heard that Allah and Jehovah are the same?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. No. Go ahead.
Yeah.
How many of you all agree that Allah and Jehovah are the same?
No.
Okay.
I do.
Mm-hmm. And again, this is according
said,
to Dr.
Who
Jeremiah.
Who said I knew?
Brett? Yes.
That Allah and Jehovah are the same?
No.
That's what I thought.
That's what he said he believed. He didn't say he knew for a fact. He just was saying if he guessed, no,
oh,
he believed
well,
it was.
I just wanted him to expound a little bit. Cause
no.
I don't see anywhere in the Bible I read, personally, this is Eric, where God refers to himself as Allah.
Mm-hmm.
He gives us many other names, but that's Allah's not one of them.
Right.
And we're going to get into that. So that was the God of Muhammad's family, and he chose Allah and came out and said that Allah was the one true God. Out of 360 gods that they worship, yes? Hello?
Yes.
Go ahead. Yes.
Can you all put your phones on mute? We can hear somebody's phone in the background. So put your phones on mute unless you're speaking. Thank you.
So,
Bishop,
let's continue.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Okay.
Go ahead. Don't put yours on mute.
No.
I'm just meddling.
I know. At Muhammad's death, the religion split, where you had the Shiite and the Sunni Muslims. Okay, the Shiites followed Muhammad's son-in-law, which was Muhammad's chosen successor.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
And then you have
the Shiites.
Go ahead.
You said the Shiites followed his son-in-law?
Mm-hmm.
You said the Shiites followed his son-in-law? Muhammad's son-in-law? Okay.
Mm-hmm. And Muhammad's successor was Abu Bakr. So the Shiites' leader was Ali. And so the Shiites believed that Ali inherited Muhammad's spiritual gifts. And so, you know, and here's one of the things that, according to Dr. Jeremiah, I must be careful to say this, according to Dr. Jeremiah, radical Islam hopes to rule the world one day.
Mm.
And one of the frightening words that is associated, according to Dr. Jeremiah, which, you know, not just Dr. Jeremiah, but this is what he has written, that is associated with Islam is jihad. What comes to your mind when you hear the word jihad? Does anybody have any thought on that?
Extremist. Martyrdom Islam. And the culture of death.
Yep, and extremist. Islamic
okay.
extremist.
The enemy.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy.
Yep.
We're using the right. Yeah, go ahead, Eric.
This is Eric. So I heard you ask about that, and they're all correct. But I just wanted to stick a pin in this point, is that it's obvious that radical Islam and Islam intends to try to rule the world, because in Ezekiel 38 and in Revelation, it talks about this war that's going to take place, where these folks
there
are going to go up against Israel. So that ain't just Dr. Jeremiah saying that. The Lord is saying that as well. He clearly spells out the countries that are going to attack Israel, and the only one that is not Islam-related is Russia.
Russia. Yeah.
And so what I'm trying to get at, Eric, and you hit right on the nail, right on the head, they were using the right language, enemies, you know, way of death, all that stuff, but it's war.
Yeah.
They want war. When 9/11 happened, you got to understand something about that culture, especially with the OPEC nations and everything. What they were looking for was something that we uncovered when that man said that whether it be a god or a devil, we want leadership. That was in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
But in those nations, the OPEC nations, the oil exporting nation, they wanted listen to this word, and some of you all will catch this if you're familiar with spiritual warfare. They wanted a strong man. Okay. And at that time, go ahead. Who's getting ready to say something? At that time, the strong man was Saddam Hussein.
Mm-hmm.
When Saddam Hussein took over, there was many people in Iraq that were opposed to Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein then had a meeting, and then he took at least 12 people outside, and they had them executed. One of his major opponents, his major opposition, stood up and declared allegiance after those people got killed and murdered. Came back and pledged his allegiance to Saddam Hussein. They didn't care. Now, they wanted a strong man. They had a strong man. Everybody followed Saddam Hussein's lead. Okay? So, Radical Islam hopes to rule the world. And you know, they, you know, when we hear jihad, like Eric said, it's war. And the other thing which we can see, I hope you can see it, is the Fatah. The Fatah is the infiltration. Now, here's the thing that we've seen it in New York. We saw it in Chicago, where, you know, it was fought back in Chicago, where they didn't want certain foods served, not just for their kids, but for the whole doggone school district. They didn't want no bacon. They didn't want something about the Jell-O. They tried to get that stricken. Like, okay, you moved to Chicago. We didn't move to Baghdad. You moved here. You knew we ate bacon before you came here. And so it in certain places in New York, they gave in. In certain places in Detroit. Yes?
I have a question. I kind of got, can you hear me? I have a question.
Yes.
I got lost a little bit. I was looking to think if you were going to explain it again, but you named two groups. You said one was the Shiites. What was the other group?
The Sunnis.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference between the two, one followed Muhammad's son-in-law, and who followed the Sunnis?
Okay. Sunnis followed
the Sunnis?
Muhammad's successor. And that was Abu Bakr.
Okay.
And that's one of the things. Thank you for taking me back to that. The Sunnis make up 90% of the Muslim world. So the Shiites are the minority of the Islamic world. Okay.
So I thought if the Shiites are 90% of them, what percent of the Shiites is the jihad?
That's a good question.
So, but they're just a little.
Yes.
This is Jerry. I thought it was the other way around. I thought the Shiites were the minority and the Sunnis were the majority, but because of the way the Shiites are, they act like that they're the majority.
The majority
of the Sunnis.
Yeah. And I think that was his point about not all of them are, you know, radical.
Central idea.
You know, we have radical Christians that go and celebrate, they call themselves Christians, they celebrate the deaths of soldiers who have died in battle. And they're not too far from where I live. They're like right across the state line in Kansas. They go all over the United States celebrating and say, God meant for your son to die.
Yeah,
that's radical.
This is Eric. The Sunnis make up about 90% of the Islamic world. The Shiites make up the other 10%. And while we don't know the percentage of the radicalness of them, but just to be Islamic and study, that means that you believe that the rest of the world should be in submission to you by virtue of Islam. That is what Islam's creed is, basically, is that everyone should be in submission to them. You either accept Islam or you die. So they don't have to be radical, but that's their belief.
But here's the problem. We, as people not wanting to rock the boat, not wanting to get along, wanting to say that we all believe in the same God, the problem is that we collectively as a people have said that it is a religion of peace. And one of the things I did skip over that I must go back to, when Muhammad was advancing his agenda, I'll say agenda, everybody who did not get converted was what? Slaughtered.
Killed.
Slaughtered.
Died.
Killed. They were killed.
Yes.
You know, Bishop, this is really interesting because if you look at, you know, our Bible tells us that if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. And all of these people from Muhammad's, from the beginning of Muhammad, were in this, what they call a caliphate system. And this system, as you talked about, I was kind of just scanning this information. This Abu Bakr was Muhammad's father-in-law. Now, you know he had a whole bunch of wives, right? And they had dads. So, but it was his father-in-law and closest friend was the Abu Bakr guy. But what it says after that is he became the first caliph. And after he died, about 2 years after he was elected, then there was someone else who came called Caliph Umar, who was the father-in-law again of Muhammad. Then after Umar was assassinated 6 years later, then comes Khalid Uthman, who took the role, and he was killed. So what we see in this reign of people is death all the time. They kill it. I mean, but this is what we had during the time of judges. Remember how judges was? People would become king, and they'd kill them because they want to be the king. So we had successor after successor. So, you know, I don't know that we can think that we are, that the Israelites were a lot different because they had similar challenges to leadership. But I see lots of death following all of these leaders. And it talked about the Sunnis and the Shiites. And like Eric was said, it does say that the Sunnis made up 90%. But they're the ones that accepted these caliphs as true successors to Muhammad. And I'm like, wow. So this is not an easy study here to understand how this system is set up. And I wish I had asked my sister, Farah, she's Muslim. It would have been interesting to hear her perspective. But it's you know, looking at the fact that the jihad is that which is the militant, and if they are more death-defying than the Sunnis, then my goodness, because the Sunnis was killing everybody too. So...
Mm-hmm.
It's a bunch of death going on. It's a bunch of death. And so,
Amen. And
who was the person who just explained that when they had the meeting, after the meeting, if you didn't devote yourself 110% to the whatever his name was, what was his name? I forgot, Saddam Hussein?
I believe
they went out and killed him.
I believe that was Eric.
Yeah, that was me. That was Bishop Snoddy.
No, wasn't Eric.
So,
sorry, Eric.
If all of this is happening, and that it says the Nation of Islam, this mostly African American Sunni sect, did y'all know they were part of the Sunnis, was founded in Detroit, Michigan. Woo! That's
Nagy
interesting.
Muhammad.
Yeah.
Mhm. Mhm.
It's very
so.
This is Brett. I just got a reply from an inquiry I made, and it's telling me that 15 to 25% of the world's Muslims are plotting attacks in the West.
Mm-hmm.
So there's your percentage.
They're doing what in the West?
They're telling me that 15 to 25% of the world's Muslims are plotting attacks in the West. So that includes the jihad and it includes the other sect.
I don't doubt it.
What? But how would they know if? How would they know which area was plotting that though? I missed it. I'm sorry. Because we know that the Shiites have the jihad from it, but how do we know that it was coming from the Sunni side as well?
I think we're missing the point. I think we're trying to get caught up in some numbers, but you're missing the big point. And the big point is that the
right.
religion itself is termed a struggle, and that struggle is for Islam to control. And if you're going to control,
Amen.
Either people are going to accept you or you're going to do what to them?
You are going to call them the infidel. You will label them the infidel. Anyone who disagrees with you is an infidel.
And what do they want to do with the infidels?
Kill them.
Murder
destroy
them.
Kill
them. Slaughter them.
So my point in asking the question. So my point in asking the question is, we can't lump all of them in the same boat. That's what I keep hearing.
Precisely.
Because I have family. I know people who are Muslim and they are not a jihad. And so to say that everybody that's Muslim is a part of that group, that's not true.
No, Dr. Susie. Well, you know what? They're not jihad. Okay, I applaud that. But if you truly study what Islam is and what their beliefs are, they are intent in ruling the world.
Yeah.
They're in a Muslim country, in a Muslim state, there is no other religion that
right.
gets to live. This country, you can worship whatever you want to. You go to Saudi Arabia and try to worship Christianity and see what happens. You go to Baghdad, you go to Iraq, you go to Iran and see what happens. I get it that they're not all jihad, but the religion itself was to control all. And anybody that wants to control all, you either assimilate or you die.
Margaret, do you have something to say?
Oh, I was just going to say, I've been, like, we're not discussing numbers, but I've been trying to find the numbers because I knew that in the past, Palestine had a larger percentage of Christians located there, and now it's being quoted only 1%, and leads me to suspect that they were annihilated because there was a larger population of Christians in Palestine and in the past, in decades past.
Mm-hmm.
And it saddens me that they must have been either murdered or driven out.
So I have a question in what Eric and it prompted me to something. Who's in control of this world?
Satan.
Who's in control of all of his history? Who is in control?
God is
in control.
Yeah.
Right.
So here's some things that are happening, and it was happening even when I was in my undergrad, that we were getting reports from places like Iran and Iraq, you know, and some of the other Islamic countries. We were getting the reports from missionaries that, you know, because at that time, we had this project called the 1040 window. If you look at the 1040 window, latitude, longitude in that area, that's a lot of Islamic nations that we began to pray for those nations. And what the reports were coming back were that angels were appearing to these people, Islamic people, in their dreams. and they were saying that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And people were, of course, you know, they were accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. However, they could not be bold like we are bold.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, Dr. Jeremiah talks about a young man who accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in, you know, one of the Islamic countries, but he asked Dr. Jeremiah, please do not send us any literature. Because you can imagine the challenge that it would be to try to spread the gospel. Pardon me?
They would have been killed if they had discovered it. They would have been killed.
Yes. So our thing, you know, those of you that are listening in the audience, it is our responsibility to pray for those that are over in that window, for the church at large, for the church to evangelize and bring as many people to heaven with us that we know that we're going. But know that there are some people, there is some persecution that's going on all over the world, that when people, preachers get up and they literally give these altar calls. How many of you are ready to die for Jesus?
Yeah.
And guess what happens? They actually die for Jesus.
All right.
You know, here in America, we're persecuted because they wouldn't let us put a parking lot on our property. The city's just persecuting us. But these people die. They get beheaded. They get shot in firing squads. 2021. This is going on right now. And what do they want? They want, as Eric said, they want to control the world. They want to rule the world. They don't want this Jesus thing. They don't want that no more. We who espouse Jesus, who accept Jesus, who proclaim Jesus, there are some people out there that are ready to behead us. We are called the great infidels. And what, as a matter of fact, when we went back, and some of y'all old enough to remember this, back when Khomeini was in charge of Iran, what did he call the United States? He called us the great Satan.
Yeah.
Okay. They think those of us that are Christians.
Satan.
Pardon
Satan.
Me? The great Satan.
The great Satan.
Yeah. So, I mean, come on, really. There are people that are being raised. There are little kids that are being raised, which is bringing me to my next point. They're being raised to hate the Western world, not just America. Cuba, who is also communist, they hate Cuba, too, because they're in the West. The Americans, they hate us. That's some serious hate, where you got a tank and you're coming down the street and they have nothing but a rock. They're going to throw a rock at the tank. And they mean that. They're ready to take you out. And so the other word that we're going to look at is the Fatah, where they infiltrate. It has been predicted that the population of France will be 80% Muslim in 19 years. This will have 18 years, because this year is gone.
Yeah.
That has a great impact on the things that will be happening governmentally. Parliament is going to change in France because of this, and that's the infiltration. Some have predicted that the population of France will be 80% by the year 2040. Islamification is also taking place in England. In 2006, Home Secretary John Reid gave a speech to Muslim parents in East London encouraging Muslim parents to not raise their children to become suicide bombers. Now imagine that. Just think, let that sink in. You have to go to a neighborhood and say, please don't raise your kids to be suicide bombers. And this is what he was met with, is where we're going here. somebody yelled out. Now, these people, they immigrated to England, to East London. They weren't born there. They're not natives there. And this is what somebody said. How dare you come to a Muslim area? They declared their home settlements to be off limits to native citizens. Now, I must I must criticize, not maybe, you know, I'm just going to say this. There's a little place, and if those of you all in the Midwest, in Detroit area, you know I'm telling the truth. There's some beautiful homes in there, and they call that Little Arabia up there in Michigan, where it's nothing but Arabians. And to, I think it was Brett that said that, you know, the there's about 20 to 15% people that are, you know, at any minute are planning attacks. There are cells, and I hate to say this, but I got to say, there are cells right here in the United States that are waiting to be activated. You know how I know that? Christmas of about 2008 in Rockford, Illinois, a cell was activated, but we had surveillance on them. An Islamic cell in Rockford, Illinois was going to blow up a mall. They were activated. So there are those that are here in the United States waiting for their imam to call them and say, okay, you're activated. Let's go.
All right.
Okay. So we've been infiltrated, you know. There's a something that happened. I remember, and somebody will probably, I'm probably messing this up, but there was some Muslims that bought out their prayer rugs in the daytime, and they were praying, facing the east and everything. This is like at the World Trade Center, somewhere in those areas. Bought their prayer rugs out and began to pray. It was disrupting the foot traffic and everything, but they allowed them to pray. Let you bring your Bible to your school and have devotion. What's going to happen?
You lose your job.
Hello? Fire those people that got their prayer rugs out. They're going to claim freedom of religion. They're going to take it to the Supreme Court, and they're going to win. I kind of get upset with the founders of the Constitution. I really do, because freedom of religion, you know, and we can say, well, they meant Christianity. Well, they didn't say Christianity. They said religion. And we have some interesting things going on right now. So here's the other thing. Oh, I already read that. Islam's England's Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, said that the Brits will have to incorporate Sharia law into British law. Anybody know anything about Sharia law?
Is that chop off the hand for theft and all kinds of terrible physical and murder and death, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was in Thailand, and I was at the hotel, and there happened to be a Saudi pilot. And he was telling us how unrighteous Thailand was. It's a trash country. He said that if one of those kids over in Arabia did the same thing that those kids in Thailand did, they stole a fruit, they would chop their hands off.
Chop their hands off, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what tripped me out, he was like, that's right. I'm like, dang, you know, he just stole the apple. So, and that's what this archbishop was saying, that it was going to be incorporated. Here's another thing that Islam's believers believe, that they have the return of their own Messiah, which, listen to this, and this is what we've been studying. They have their own Messiah, which will return to earth during a time of worldwide chaos. Hello. And you know, those Bible scholars and those of you all who got the Holy Ghost would think that Messiah would be the Antichrist. because of what we've read. Where's the correlation? Where's the correlation? You got a lot of Islamic nations and Gog and Magog. Whereas Magog has a lot of the Persian countries in it, and that's going to be their Messiah. I used to wonder, how would these people be warring against the Lord Jesus Christ and his followers? I don't wonder anymore. I understand that. So here's another one. Certain people believe that Allah is another name for God. But here's 12 names of God in the Bible. Elohim, he's our creator. Jehovah, he's the Lord our God. El Shaddai, our supplier. Adonai, our master. Jehovah Yireh, or Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Yireh, my provider. Jehovah Rophe, our healer. Jehovah Nisi, our banner. Jehovah Mikadesh, our sanctifier. Now check this out. Dutch Catholic Bishop Muskens wants everybody to call God Allah. Now did y'all hear that list of 12 names that I just read? Allah in any of them?
No.
But he says that this is what Muskin said. Allah is a beautiful word for God. Shouldn't we all say that from now on? We name God Allah? A Roman Catholic bishop disagreed and said words mean things. Referring to God as Allah means something. What was Bishop Muskin thinking? He wanted to promote harmony between Christianity and Islam, which goes back to what Saddam Hussein's general was saying. There's certain things, church, that we have to stand up for. We can't please everybody. That has been the posture of so many Christian denominations for so long. We don't want to offend anybody. We are offending some people right now just by teaching what we're teaching. Somebody's going to get mad. Donnie McClurkin has a song called Jesus, Just the Mention of Your Name. And he goes into this ad-lib and he says, not Buddha, not Christian, not Muhammad. He received a letter from an Islamic person and said, you infidel, if you say that again, we'll kill you. He sings it all the time. It's not Buddha. It's not Krishna. It's not Muhammad. Jesus. Just the mention of his name. Demons tremble. The mention of his name, people are healed. At the mention of his name, the dead are raised. At the mention of his name, the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the lame will walk, the dumb will speak.
All right.
Amen, amen.
At the mention of his name. And we have to, in this day, be bold and declare the Lordship of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So Dr. Jeremiah doesn't leave it there where it's all doom and gloom and everything, because he does end that chapter by saying there's hope for those that are in Islam. You know, we're not going to stop the jihad. We're not. It's prophesied, been written about. It's been foretold. So what is our job to do as Christians? We've got to pray for those that don't know Jesus.
Amen.
The witches.
Amen.
The warlocks. The atheists. The agnostics.
Amen.
We really, if we're born again, we have to. It's the option of having a prayer life. It's just gone. It's no option. When should we pray? Men always pray and not faint and not get tired. Because guess what? In your family, in your neighborhood, in my neighborhood, in your state, my state,
right.
In your city, my city, there's always something going on. there's always something to pray about. We got to pray for those people that don't know Jesus, and we cannot exclude Muslims. Or they going to hell anyway. Well, we look, you know what we can do? We can put up roadblocks to hell. And, I mean, when we intercede, Jesus intercedes for us. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now making intercession for us. That's wonderful to know that Jesus is praying for us. And here's one that blows my mind all the time. Jesus loves your worst enemy as much as he loves you.
Amen.
Yeah, all right.
Amen. Follow sometimes.
Amen.
Me, Rodney, who beat me up in the sixth grade, you love him too, Jesus? Yes, Michael, I love him too.
So it's 8:23, right. Bishop Michael. We just want to thank you for an awesome study. Are there others on the line that have a take-home that they want to add, to share, a scripture, a thought that you wanted to get out there?
I really have one. Jesus Christ died in our place so we might go to heaven.
Yes.
That's the antithesis of Islam. They have to die. They have to try to save the world or save themselves. But nobody can save themselves. Jesus died once and for all. It's done.
Hallelujah.
Anybody
Thank
else?
You, Jesus.
Thank you, Margaret. Awesome. Awesome teaching, Bishop. Anybody else have
Thank
any
you,
other stuff that they want to share?
Yeah, this is Brother Mateo.
Before we close.
Hey, Brother Mateo.
Hey, Brother Mateo.
How you doing, my people? Miss you guys.
We're blessed.
All right.
The bishop said something that I really liked. He's talking about enemies, you know, and I've been doing on my speeches a lot lately talking about enemies and things like that. And I just want to, you know, say to anybody listening, remember that your enemies are spirits. Do not hate people. Do not, you know, put hate and distrust like that in people. All our enemies are spiritual. Even people that are against us or we see as enemies, it's not them that we have a problem with. It's a spirit that's guiding them. So be patient, love people, and pray for them all. I agree 100%. If we don't pray for the world, we're not doing our job. We're supposed to pray for them.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother Eric, did you have something closing to say as well? You have to get off mute. All right. Jerry, did you have anything to say? Dr. Nux, did you have anything you wanted to say? All righty then. Dr. Nix, would you close us out? Have to get off mute. Everybody on mute? That's funny.
Hello?
All right. Brother Snotty, Dr. Snotty, would you close us out? Or anybody volunteer? If y'all don't do it, I'm going to have to do it in a minute.
If what we've been talking about has touched your heart and you are having questions about what am I to do, yes, pray. But if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, pray with me. Father, I thank you that you sent Jesus to die for my sins. I confess my sin is ever before me. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus, come into my heart. I welcome you into my life. I renounce the works of the devil. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for keeping me. In Jesus' name, amen. Get into a Bible-believing church and tune into this radio program every Tuesday from 7 to 8:30-ish. Amen. Back
Amen.
In your hands.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. Mark your calendars or set a reminder that every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you need to be calling 646-478-4932, where you will be taught the authoritative Word of God. Listen, be active in the conversation. We are here for you, lifting up the Word of God. If you do not know the Word of God, get to reading the Bible. It's a book about love, intrigue, mystery, celebration, and salvation for your soul. Please invite a friend or a relative or even a stranger. Dr. Susie is the host and moderator. Again, that number, 646-478-4932, is the only number that you will need to call. Until next week, may God's grace and goodness be with you. And have a happy Thanksgiving. Good night.
Amen.
Amen.
Good night, you guys.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Be blessed.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Dr. Susie.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.